Our scripture reading this morning comes from two places. The first place from Isaiah chapter 7, and then we'll be reading from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1. But let's begin this morning in Isaiah chapter 7, the first 14 verses of Isaiah chapter 7. Keep in mind as well that in your bulletins is an outline of this morning's message, and want to encourage you to have that with you, which will aid you in following the outline of this morning's message. But let's begin with our scripture reading from Isaiah 7, the first 14 verses. And let's pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy, infallible, and inerrant word. When Ahaz, son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, King Rezin of Aram and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem, but they could not overpower it. Now the house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim, so the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, Go out, you and your son Shear Jessup, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct, at the upper pool, on the road to the washerman's field. Say to him, Be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram and the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, Let us invade Judah. Let us tear it apart and divide it amongst ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it. Yet this is what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. Within 65 years, Ephraim will too be shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. But Ahaz said, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Then Isaiah said, Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And then if you'll turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 1, and beginning at verse 18, we'll be reading through verse 24. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. I'm sorry, 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Thus the reading of God's word this morning, as we find it in the book of Isaiah and Matthew. And I encourage you as well to keep your finger in both passages this morning, as we will be going back and forth between the two. King Ahaz and Joseph. both sons of David. Both found in Matthew's genealogy in Matthew's first chapter. Both given the same prophecy some 700 years apart. Both men find themselves in difficult circumstances. One man is surrounded by two kings and the king's armies and is ready to flee for his life. The other finds his betrothed, the one he is pledged to be married to, pregnant. Both are sent a messenger from God. Both are called to put their faith beyond their present circumstances and in the prophecy of the child. One man does, the other does not. This is the story of the contrast between these two sons of David, a story that challenges you to put your faith in the prophecy of the child. The story of Ahaz begins in 740 BC. In the far northeast, there is a threat looming for these three particular nations. The mighty and cruel Assyrians have come to power, and the Assyrians have no industry amongst them. Their power is through war. Their power is through conquering nations and carrying off the wealth of the conquered nations back to Assyria and to the city of Nineveh. They are known as a cruel people, cruel oppressors. Those of you who attended the archaeology conference led by Mr. Dennison remember the pictures of the torture that they would put upon the conquered peoples, sometimes cutting off their skin and stretching them out and letting them bleed till they died. This threat is looming. And the nations that surround Judah, in particular Israel to the north and Syria to the northeast, are very, very concerned. The Assyrian power is rising. Other nations have suffered, and these nations know what's next in store for them. And so they come up with a plan. The king of the northern tribes, the king of Israel, Pekah, joins together with the king of Aram, which in other places in the book of Isaiah is called Syria. These two kings join together and form an alliance and determine that they together will stand up to the Assyrians, for neither one can stand up to them alone. They look south at the kingdom of Judah, and they recognize that if the people of Judah and their king will also stand with them, these three kingdoms with their combined armies may be able to stand up to Assyrian power. But the king of Judah foils their plans. King Ahaz, instead of joining up with the king of Aram and the king of Israel, declines to fight with them and lets them stand alone. The king of Israel and the king of Aram look south to their neighbor, and they recognize that their neighbor is going to use them as a buffer zone. I'll let Syria stand in the way between us and Assyria. I'll let Israel stand in the way between us and Assyria. They'll suffer the consequences, but we'll be safe tuckered in behind them. And so these two kings, recognizing the thought process of the king of Judah, we're told in verse 1, decide to march against Judah. Verse 1 of Isaiah 7 tells us that when Ahaz the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, was king of Judah, the king Rezin of Aram and Pekah son of Remaliah's son of Israel marched to fight against Jerusalem. they were very successful in their battle. As 2 Chronicles 28 sums up the battle, they tell us that as they approach Jerusalem, and in verse 1 they are at the gates, 250,000 citizens of Judah have been carried off into captivity. 120,000 men of Judah, 120,000 fighting men killed in one day. And now these two kings who stand on the doorstep of Jerusalem, ready to capture the city and force the king to flee, are making their plans to destroy the city. But verse 2 tells us what exactly King Ahaz and his people were thinking. The house of David was told, Aram has allied itself with Ephraim. So the hearts of Ahaz and his people were shaken as the trees of the forest were shaken by the wind. Ahaz and his people are both afraid. They have witnessed the charge of these two kings against them, the 120,000 men of Judah killed in one day, the 250,000 citizens carried off. And he thinks to himself, things do not look good for me and for Judah. Contrast Ahaz and his earthly circumstances to Joseph. In Matthew 1, we have Joseph, a son of David, a name who is included in Matthew's line of the Christ, along with Ahaz. This man, Joseph, according to verse 18, has a betrothed named Mary. Betrothed to be married to him. No doubt he is thinking about his plans for marriage and their future together. As a betrothed, that means he has already entered into a covenant relationship with her father, no doubt already paying the bride's price. And suddenly his bride is pregnant. This was a serious offense in Joseph's day. A woman pregnant before marriage with another man's child. Adultery. A serious, serious offense. Any man would divorce or break the covenant and leave her. Joseph, her husband, verse 19, is a righteous man. He does not want to expose her to public disgrace. He has in his mind to divorce her quietly as any man would. Ahaz finds himself surrounded. Joseph finds himself pledged to be married and now the one he is engaged to, pregnant. What do these sons of David do? It's not what they do that our text first tells us about each one. It's what God does for them. God sends to each one of these sons of David a messenger. To King Ahaz, he sends the messenger, his prophet, Isaiah. And Isaiah brings a message of hope to King Ahaz. He tells him in verse 3, the Lord speaks first to Isaiah in verse 3, go out, you and your son, Seer Jessup, to meet Ahaz at the end of the aqueduct of the upper pool on the road to the washerman's field, and here's what you are to say to him. Be careful. Keep calm. Don't be afraid. Yes, you know that these two kings are on your doorstep. Yes, we know how many thousands of people have been killed and carried off. but trust in the promises of God. God has made a promise to you that a son of David will always be on the throne of Judah. He goes on to explain exactly what he means. Do not lose heart because of these two smoldering stubs of firewood, because of the fierce anger of Rezin and Aram, the son of Remaliah. Aram, Ephraim, and Remaliah's son have plotted your ruin, saying, let us invade Judah, let us tear it apart and divide it amongst ourselves and make the son of Tabeel king over it. But listen to what the sovereign Lord says. It will not take place. It will not happen. Yes, you see the thousands of people carried off. You see your army of men destroyed in one day. And the Lord said to you, as they stand on the doorstep of the city of Jerusalem, it will not happen. It will not take place. For the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only Rezin. And with 65 years, Ephraim will too be shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. Notice the language of the words that is given to King Ahaz through God's prophet. As he describes Aram and the city of Damascus, who is behind that city and that city's power? A man, Rezin, a king, not a god, only a man. Who stands behind Samaria, the northern 10 tribes who have now turned to idols? A king who's made a deal with Syria, and we're told it is only Remaliah's son, a man. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. This is a prophecy of faith, a call to Ahaz to believe in God's promises, to believe in the sovereign God and the covenant promise that that sovereign God has made to him. And throughout these verses, we're reminded repeatedly of this covenant promise of God. In verse 2, you notice that the prophecy is given to the house of David. In verse 1, Ahaz's name is mentioned, but in verse 2, this prophecy is reminding us that this is the house of David. The house of David of whom God made his covenant with. The house of David who was promised as David was given the words of God to him that his sons would be on the throne, his descendants on the throne of Judah as long as Judah exists as a nation. As we look further in verse 10, again, he speaks of the house of David, verse 13, I'm sorry. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David. And so in the midst of their plans, notice verse 6. Their plans to invade Judah, their plans to tear it apart, their plans to divide it amongst themselves, and put their own king over it. The sovereign covenant Lord said, it will not take place. It will not happen. The sovereign God has made a covenant with the house of David. The sovereign and true God stands behind his king, his son of David, on the throne in Jerusalem. And though 250,000 citizens have been carried off, though 150,000 fighting men killed in one day, they will not take Jerusalem and they will not remove you as king. For there is no power behind either king or either nation. They are mere men. And the evidence of this promise is right before the face of Ahaz. Did you notice the phrase at the end of verse 1? They could not overpower it. Kill 150,000 men of Judah in one day? Yes. Carry off 250,000 people off to a foreign land? Yes. But as Jerusalem stands, and the Son of David, the Son of God's promise, sits on the throne, they cannot overpower the city, for God's promise stands. God also sent a messenger to Joseph. We're told that as Joseph is contemplating what to do, not a prophet, but an angel comes. An angel of the Lord, verse 20, comes to him and speaks in a dream, and he tells him, Joseph, son of David. Do you notice the name that he uses, this messenger of God, this angel who speaks to him in a dream? Joseph, who in verse 16 is the son of Jacob. Joseph now is identified as a son of David. As Ahaz was a son of David, Joseph is now identified by the angel as a son of David, reminding him of the covenant promise of God to the line of King David. And he's given a same message. Remember the first words out of the prophet Isaiah's mouth to the king. Keep calm. Don't be afraid. And now as you go to the angel speaking to Joseph, the angel declares, do not be afraid. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of the earthly consequences of your betrothed expecting a child. Do not be afraid of what will be said about you or what people might think about you and the woman that you are betrothed to. Do not be afraid of the earthly circumstances that surround you. But take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. God has not spoken through a messenger, through a prophet, for 450 years. Now this Joseph, who's made his plans to be married and start a family and build up his carpentry business, finds that his wife is, or his future wife is expecting, and an angel appears to him and tells him, this baby has been conceived by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, son of David, you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. The covenant promise of David given to King Ahaz, as he finds himself surrounded, God directs the prophet to remind him of the covenant promise that has been made and to put his hope and trust in the true God and in that promise. Joseph finds himself in a difficult circumstance, and the angel appears to him and reminds him to put his trust in the covenant promises made to David. But now, as we've looked at the similarities between the two men, what is key in understanding this sermon is the differences. How does each man respond to those promises? How does each man respond to the covenant promises of David that have been given to each one? There's King Ahaz, first of all, who finds himself surrounded, who has a messenger of God come to him and proclaim to him the proof, the prophecy of what is going to take place, to put his trust in the covenant promises of God and not in himself, and not to fear men who have no real God standing behind them. And so the Lord speaks to King Ahaz directly in verse 10. Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights. He tells Ahaz, God himself speaks to him, not through the prophet, but God himself speaks to him. And he tells him, I know this is going to be hard for you. All these men carried off, all these men that have been killed, and you've got to trust me as they're on the doorstep of Jerusalem and you're ready to flee. Ask me for a sign, and I will give you a sign. I will give you a specific sign so that you can see that what the prophet Isaiah has said to you from me is true. All you have to do is ask for a sign, and I will give it. And Ahaz said, verse 12, I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. This king, to some, may sound pious. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to test the Lord. But this king is far from pious. God himself has spoken to him. And God has said to him, I will make your faith easy for you. You must stand firm in your faith. And guess what? I'm going to give you a sign to confirm your faith. And he says, well, I won't ask. I won't put the Lord to the test. And when Isaiah hears his answer in verse 13, he rebukes him. Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of men? Will you try the patience of my God also? He rebukes him. He calls him to believe in the true God. And as he speaks to him, you notice the personal language that Isaiah uses. Will you try the patience of my God? It's not Ahaz's God, because he is not demonstrating faith in Isaiah's God. By not willing, as a member of the house of David, to ask for the sign and to have God confirm that Isaiah's message is true, King Ahaz has rejected this promise. He has rejected the idea of putting his faith and trust and deliverance in God. And he puts it in himself. Nevertheless, in verse 14, God promises to his people that he will still give a sign. Ahaz won't trust me. Ahaz won't believe in the sign or ask for a sign. But I will give my people a sign. And the sign looks far beyond the earthly circumstances of Ahaz. Ahaz, who is so concerned about his nation, about his kingdom, about his city, who is concerned about the kings on the doorstep, can only see his own present situation. And so God gives a sign far beyond the present circumstances. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. God's word to Ahaz and the people of Judah is that you've got this king who, yes, is a descendant of David, but won't trust me and won't trust in the covenant promises I made to David. Thus, I will send a king who is myself. God with us. Son of God and Son of Man. Joseph is given the same prophecy. As Joseph stands before this angel, or I should say dreams what this angel speaks to him about, we're told that after the angel instructs him, the same words are spoken. Matthew records the prophecy from Isaiah 7, verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The same verse, the same prophecy from Isaiah, the same word of God spoken is coming into play here. 700 years before, during the time of Ahaz, this prophecy was given. And now as Joseph dreams this angel speaking to him, and he sees that his wife is expecting, or his future wife is expecting, and yet he is not married, nor has he been with her. This prophecy is spoken. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Joseph, son of David, inside Mary's womb, conceived by the Holy Spirit, is God's fulfillment of Isaiah 7. God is coming to earth. God, the Son of David, is coming to earth. God and man, Emmanuel, God with you. And you are to give him the name Jesus. Joseph is caught up in his earthly circumstances. His betrothed is expecting. He's in his mind contemplating a plan of divorce. And God tells him through this angel, she will give birth to Emmanuel, and you will call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph, you need to look beyond your earthly circumstances. You need to look beyond what may happen to you and Mary if you continue to be married and take her as your wife. Because what is really important is your standing before God and to have your sins forgiven. How does each man respond? King Ahaz, who has been given this promise, this sign, but refused to believe. King Ahaz, who doesn't like God's answer. King Ahaz, who looks around him and wants a practical answer to his situation and doesn't get it. He comes up with his own plan. Another part of Scripture tells us what he did. In 2 Kings chapter 16, we read the same exact story and situation. In 2 Kings chapter 18, we have the story, I'm sorry, chapter 16, we have the story of King Ahaz. Verse 5 of 2 Kings 16 tells us the same situation. Rezin, king of Aram, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, marched up to fight against Jerusalem and besieged Ahaz, but they could not overpower him. Almost the exact wording of Isaiah 7, verse 1. But notice verse 7. Ahaz sent messengers to say to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, I am your servant and vassal. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Aram and the king of Israel who are attacking me. And King Ahaz took the silver and gold found in the temple of the Lord and in the treasuries of the royal palace and sent it as a gift to the king of Assyria. And the king of Assyria complied by attacking Damascus and capturing it. And he deported its inhabitants to Kir and put Rezin to death. Here is a king, a son of David, on the throne of Judah. And in his desperate situation, he is given a prophet from God who comes to him and explains to him that the destruction you see around you, their plan to unseat you as king and tear apart your nation, it will not happen. All you have to do is trust God. All you have to do is put your faith in the covenant promises that God has made to you. I'll even let you ask for a test, and I will answer that test so that you can see it is all true. But this king has his own plan. Instead of trusting God, instead of trusting in God's covenant promises, he calls the king of Assyria. He sends a messenger, and he says, I will serve you. I will be your vassal. You come and deliver me. You attack Arab. You attack Syria. You attack Damascus. And I will give you all the silver and gold from the temple of the Lord. I'll give it to you because I trust that you can rescue me and not God himself. And the king is delivered by the king of Assyria. And 2 Kings tells us that he meets him in Damascus and he sees an altar of the Assyrians. He sees an altar of Syrians, I guess I should say, not Assyrians, but the Syrians. And he sends a sketch of it to the high priest in Jerusalem and has him build that altar for the people to worship God through that false God's altar. Ahaz found his own solution. Instead of trusting in God's promises, he trusted in himself. Instead of putting his faith in the covenant God and Isaiah's promise to believe in Emmanuel, God with us, he focused on his present circumstances and could see no further than an ungodly solution. For him, it was so much easier to find his own answer than trust in God. But Joseph, who's given the same words of prophecy, Joseph, who for 450 years has had no revelation from God, he knows that there has been silence between the Old and New Testaments. Joseph, who now has an angel speak to him and refer to a prophecy from 700 years before, Joseph wakes up. And he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. And he took Mary home as his wife. Joseph had another plan. Verse 19 tells us he had in mind to take care of it his own way, to divorce her quietly, to take care of this problem and the public ridicule he may take when people find out. But when God sent his messenger, when God gave him the promise of the virgin birth and told him that it would be fulfilled in his very own family as a son of David, Joseph believed and Joseph obeyed. And we're told in the last verse, verse 25, that he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. What did the name Jesus mean? What did the angel say? Because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph looks beyond his present circumstances. Joseph, unlike Ahaz, looks around him at the present circumstances and he sees what is far more important. Even though God had reminded Ahaz that there is no God or power behind the king of Assyria or the king of Israel who stand at your doorstep, you have to trust in me. Ahaz trusted in himself. But Joseph, a son of David, is given the same prophecy. One of the mysteries of the Christian faith that none of us as human beings can comprehend is the virgin birth. How could Mary have been pregnant by the Holy Spirit? It's one of the keys to our Christian faith. And when Joseph is spoken to by the angel, when Joseph is reminded that he is a son of David, when Joseph is reminded of the prophecy given 700 years before, he believes it. And we know he does, because when he gives him the name Jesus, he understands that Jesus, his son, will save his people from their sins. The Jews wanted a messianic king to come, a king that would conquer Rome. But God sent his son Emmanuel, who would take care of something far greater. He would save his people from their sins so they could be with him. As you live your life, as you look at your present circumstances, you see all kinds of difficulties. Whatever they may be, whether it be family difficulties, financial difficulties, or health difficulties, the temptation is there, just like these two men faced, to find your own solution. I don't want to trust in God. I don't want to trust in His promises. His answer is not practical enough for me. And so you find your own solution. And like King Ahaz, sell yourself out to another man or a false god. But as we read the story of Joseph and his faith in the promise of David, that God himself would come to earth as Emmanuel, that God himself would send his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and pay for the sins of his people, That God, through the promise of David, through the virgin who gave birth to the Son, Jesus Christ, this child would take care of the conclusion of every matter that you face. You have no worry, for your sins have been forgiven in Jesus Christ. Don't worry about your present circumstances. Don't get caught up in tempting yourself to compromise or handle it some other way or sell your soul to some other person. But it speaks of faith and trust in the promise of God fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you. This is why we celebrate Christmas. This is why we give thanks to God. For when we trust in Him and a solution He has already accomplished, everything else we face in this world pales in compare to Him. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this word which has spoken to us from Isaiah 7 and from the first chapter of Matthew. We rejoice, Lord, in our Savior, the Lord Jesus, God Himself, who's come in the flesh, who died on the cross to pay for our sins. We thank you, Lord, for His coming. We thank you that as we stand before you, we know that you are the power behind this covenant promise. We know that because we belong to you and belong to our Savior, you stand behind us. Father, as we face life and all of its difficulties, give us courage to stand firm and to believe in those promises. Enable us to resist giving in to compromise or finding our own solutions apart from you. Enable us to trust in this promise, knowing that what is really important is standing before you and having our sins washed away. Lord, no matter what may happen to us in this world, give us the confidence to not be afraid, to know that your promise and the sign that you sent, the virgin birth, is all we need to have confidence that everything in your word is true. We pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.